around the Beltway to around the world. News. Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is The Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When you're ready to sell your home, you want the best price possible. You want to get the highest appraisal as part of the sale process. But if you're a person of color, is there a risk that you could be lowballed, that the appraiser would set the value of your home thousands or even hundreds of thousands less than it's worth just because of the color of your skin? Well, tonight we're looking at this issue from various angles. We start with Zixta Martinez, Deputy Director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Ms. Martinez, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting us. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Let me first get to the root of this issue. How would you define appraisal bias?
I would define it as the undervaluation of a home's value because of the homeowner's race, because of the homeowner's ethnicity, or some other protected characteristic, or because the home is located in a community of color, like a majority African-American neighborhood or a majority Latino neighborhood, for example.
Mm-hmm. We often hear real estate agents talk about location, location, location when you are buying or even selling a home. But that really is kind of different from appraisal bias, isn't it?
It is. And when you think about the appraisal market and appraisal issues, they're quite complicated. But the issue of appraisal bias is straightforward. It is undervaluing a home's value because of the race or ethnicity of a homeowner. Mm.
From the perspective of your office, how common is this?
That is a very good question. There are differing opinions about the prevalence and the root cause. Based on the complaints we get, I would unequivocally state that it is common, it is not an isolated instance, and in fact, at a hearing that the CFPB hosted in January, we heard from African-American couple, Tanisha Austin and Paul Austin, who testified as to what happened to them while they were trying to get their home appraised. They got an initial appraisal, which was alarmingly low, so much so that they requested a second appraisal. They got a second appraisal, and during that second appraisal, asked a white friend to stand in for them. The second appraisal in Marin City, California, came in almost $500,000 higher than the first appraisal. And when the Austins testified about their experience, it was clear that there's an economic impact, not only to them as a family and what it means to their neighborhood, it also has an emotional toll. And that was really very informative to the appraisal subcommittee that held the hearing.
You said the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau gets complaints about this. What happens to those complaints? How much teeth does your office have in addressing this issue?
Well, in the last 18 months, we got about 2,000 mortgage origination complaints that mentioned appraisal bias or appraisal inaccuracy as an issue. What I would say is that if you are a homeowner who has experienced appraisal bias or believes that there's an inaccuracy, you should, in the first instance, go to your lender and ask for a second appraisal. It's also called a reconsideration of value. And in the course of that, you can dispute errors, omissions. You can point out inadequate comps that may be used, or you can present evidence of appraisal bias. You also have the option of filing a complaint with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau at consumerfinance.gov, or you can file a complaint with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development through their Fair Lending Program. Mm-hmm.
But like I said, once you get that filing, what happens to that complaint through your office?
Through our office, we typically are responsive within 12 to 21 days, and we will refer a complaint if it needs to be referred to an appropriate state agency or an appropriate entity with additional authorities than the CFPB has in appraisal.
Zixta Martinez, Deputy Director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for bringing attention to this problem. It's really important that what you're doing to increase awareness of it is extraordinarily valuable, and we are so grateful for the opportunity.
Thank you again. I appreciate your time. Joining me now, Nikitra Bailey, Executive Vice President for the National Fair Housing Alliance, also Jake Lillian, Counsel for Fair Housing Enforcement with the National Community Reinvestment Coalition, and Chris Jackson, owner of the Jackson Appraisal Group. I want to let our listeners know that the lines are open now at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, and you can tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate your time. Jake, let me start with you. Obviously, this is a really huge problem. From your perspective, how big of an issue is this?
It's a huge issue. There was a study done where they measured how often appraisers undervalued a home compared to how much it sold for. There were cases where a home was sold and an appraiser had just determined the value, and appraisers were twice as likely to undervalue the home if it was in a Latino neighborhood as opposed to a white neighborhood. And they were 50% more likely to undervalue it if it was in a black neighborhood as opposed to a white neighborhood. So, I mean, there's a major difference here in how people are treated based on the predominant race in the neighborhood they live in.
Mm-hmm. What can someone do about this? You heard Ms. Martinez say that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, once getting a complaint, they will make they will let the complaint, you know, send it down to states or other agencies. But there certainly has to be something that someone who feels that they have been discriminated against could do something about this.
Yeah, there is the reconsideration process, and that unfortunately does not usually result in the home being given a different value. Like most people, appraisers are not very eager to admit that they made a mistake, and so I've heard a figure that 80% of the time when people request a reconsideration, the appraiser stands by their initial figure, but that does leave 20% of the time where the valuation does change. So that's certainly an option, mm-hmm. And if they want to pursue action, then they could contact my organization, the National Community Reinvestment Coalition, or NCRC, or they could just file a complaint themselves with HUD or with the CFPB. Mm-hmm. They don't need to hire a lawyer to do that. Those government agencies will investigate for them.
Chris Jackson, Jackson Appraisal Group. Appraisals are subjective. You know, certainly you have a level of expertise, mm-hmm. but this all has to do with the eyes that walk into a house. Kind of give me the cliff notes of how long should I in 2023 expect an appraiser to spend at my house? What are they looking for? What determines that? And does the neighborhood determine that? The fact that it may be a neighborhood of color or it may be a white neighborhood. How do you answer that?
That's a good question. So when we go out to a house, we are looking for, we're trying to collect data. That's mm-hmm. what we're doing, right? So we want to look at the finishes of the house, renovations. How long ago was the kitchen updated? How long ago was the baths updated? We're measuring the house, GLA, called gross living area, right? We're measuring for all of that. We're trying to see what overall condition the house is in. That part is probably the most subjective part of the appraisal, the condition, because that's going to determine which comparables that I end up choosing that are preferably in the neighborhood, right? So the closer, the better. If I have a house, same model next door to me, that's going to be my best comp, honestly, right? From an appraiser's perspective. I'm not going to hop that comp to go in another neighborhood to go find a comparable for that subject. Now, if I do that and I skip this comp that was next door to me, then that's a red flag to start with. So, and so when you're talking about bias, it could be pretty easy to pick it up once you see this, you know, when you see inconsistencies like that in the report.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about home appraisal bias. What is it? How can you fight against it? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Ms. Bailey, your organization, the National Fair Housing Alliance, has been doing work on this for many, many, many years. Talk to me about some of your latest findings as it relates to appraisal bias based on race.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of the conversation. Let me just say from the outset, appraisal bias is not a bug of the system. It is actually a feature of the system.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that our country's policies and practices since the very founding of our nation have been designed in a way that were very race conscious, in the sense that if you were white, you were deemed favorable by our country's housing policies. When we think about laws as far back as the 1930s and the New Deal Federal Homeowners Loan Corporation, for instance, they created a system of evaluating neighborhoods, and one of the key factors in determining the desirability of a neighborhood and the value of a neighborhood was race. They also created maps that were color-coded to indicate the desirability of neighborhoods. We all know what they are. They're the redlining maps that we all are fighting against today. And even after, you know, those maps were adopted by the Federal Housing Administration, we know that private developers benefited from those investments, where, you know, the federal government was securitizing mortgage loans, and they were funding developers who were excluding families of color, black families and other families of color, from moving into those neighborhoods well after the 1948 Supreme Court Act, decision banned racially restrictive covenants. So in the first 35 years of the FHA Insure program, where the federal government backed over $120 billion in mortgages, less than 2% of those loans went to black homeowners. And when we look at programs that the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs instituted, we saw similar types of exclusionary policies. When we look at states like Mississippi, just 3 out of over 3,000 VA-insured mortgages went to black service members. So the system was designed in a way where there is this unfounded association between race and risk, even when we know in those communities there were hardworking black people who could afford to pay those mortgages. So the Federal Fair Housing Act was enacted in 68, and it was enacted just 7 days after the violent assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And what we saw was this kind of morphing from race conscious, explicit policies of exclusion to more subtler, race-neutral methods and ways to exclude black people from neighborhood, whether you're talking about urban renewal programs or transportation projects in cities, or where there was the use of eminent domain to condemn and raise houses and businesses and churches, and other exclusionary zoning. And then today, we see technology perpetuating this discrimination. So when I say that, you know, the bias in the system is, you know, a feature, I'm referring to this long history of ongoing discrimination that continues to cost black consumers billions of dollars. Appraisal bias costs Black consumers about $162 billion today. That's an issue that we're dealing with today.
Hold your point, because I've got to take a break. And, you know, Chris is sitting here nodding in agreement with everything you said. I also have some questions for Jake as well. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about home appraisal bias. Are you being lowballed as a result of the color of your skin when you are looking for the valuation of your home? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to take a break, but don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about home appraisal bias tonight. Could you be lowballed because of the color of your skin? My guests are Nikitra Bailey, Executive Vice President of the National Fair Housing Alliance, Jake Lillian, Counsel for Fair Housing Enforcement with the National Community Reinvestment Coalition, and Chris Jackson, owner of Jackson Appraisal Group. Lines are still open if you have a comment or question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jake, as we know, there have been examples of people doing their own kinds of experiments slash protections where a family of color may have an appraisal done and they question it. And what they do is they may have one of their white friends come over and sit for a second appraisal and essentially whitewash their house. They remove any Afrocentric artwork. They remove pictures of family and friends, kind of to de-ethnicize mm-hmm. that house. And then they get a higher appraisal. If you suspect that outside of doing something like mm-hmm. that, which takes a lot, but it is your money we're talking about. Outside of doing something like that, if you suspect that you're being lowballed, what should they do?
If you've gotten the appraisal report back and you think it's low, I would recommend speaking to your neighbors. Neighbors who have similar homes, ask them, have they refinanced recently? Have they bought their homes recently? If so, they had appraisals done. Find out what their homes were valued at. If I would also look at the comparable homes that were chosen by the appraisers. If, for example, let's say you're a black homeowner in a white neighborhood, if the appraiser chose homes from black neighborhoods that are less wealthy neighborhoods as the comparables, that's highly suspicious. If that's the case, I would absolutely recommend filing a complaint or reaching out to a group like mine.
What would the benefit be of lowballing someone? Why does it matter to the appraiser whether or not the value of the house is higher or lower?
It shouldn't. I think it's unconscious bias in most cases. It's not so much that the appraiser thinks, okay, this is an African-American owned home, so I am going to do whatever I can to take money out of their hands. It's more that they think, oh, this is a home in a black area. If I'm looking for a good house to compare it to, I'm just going to look at other black areas. They don't necessarily think that out to themselves that way, but subconsciously that's what they look for. Or if it's a black-owned home in a white area, rather than looking in other white areas, it just occurs to them to look in black areas instead, even if the homes there aren't very good comparators.
Mm-hmm. You know, Chris, Nikitra spoke about technology and the impact on appraisals. With so much information there, do you go on the internet even before you go to a home to look at the comps, to look at the designs of the house, or do you ignore what you can find online and go straight to the house? And tell me why.
That's a good question. Appraisers do it differently. Me personally, I do not look at the comps before I go out because I don't know what the house is going to look like once I get there, right? And mostly talking about refinance transactions on purchases. You can see the pictures online. I kind of know what I'm looking at. But generally speaking, I don't do that just because I don't want any influences to what the value might be when I go. Most appraisers do look at comps beforehand. But if they look at comps and they're looking at comps in a neighborhood and they think that the house might be dilapidated and they go in and the house is renovated, then they pulled the wrong comps. So that's why I don't pull them beforehand. But piggybacking off of what Nikitra was saying earlier, she couldn't have nailed it better, right? The appraisals in America started in around the 30s and 40s after the New Deal, right? In 1930s, appraisals were given instruction by the FHA to not lend to, well, first of all, 2% of FHA loans from the 30s to 60s went to black people. So mm-hmm. essentially, nobody was getting loans, right? But if you were a white person buying a house, you could not get that loan if there was a black person in that neighborhood. Additionally, you could not get that loan if a black person was in the neighborhood next to you unless there was a wall put up in between, right? So 1968, Fair Housing comes out, but and they stop all that, supposedly, right? But there was nothing to rectify that problem. So now we have 40 years or whatever that is, 35 years of a head start. And then so that's kind of why we have values in different areas, white neighborhoods, black neighborhoods that are completely different, right? So solution-wise, it's kind of hard to say, okay, I'm going to go into Suitland, Maryland, take this one-level Rambler that's, a $300,000 value, and then compare it to a house in Rockville, same exact house, same brick and mortar, same distance to the Beltway, let's just say, right? And that one's an $800,000 value. But we can't just take that $800,000 value.
You can't jump around like that.
We can't jump around like that, right? Mm-hmm. And so we can't just slap that $800,000 value on the Suitland house. I mean, practically speaking, nobody would buy it. If I put a sign in the yard and put $800,000 on for that house, no one would buy it. So this is a deep issue that we had to find some real solutions for sure.
But that's why I was asking. So you may go to the houses that are in the immediate vicinity of that house to when you look at the comps and the like. But there may be upgrades or some things that perhaps have not been fixed in a house that will certainly impact it.
Correct. So if I have a house and in the area, let's just stay with Suitland. If I have a renovated Rambler in Suitland, ideally, I'm looking for other renovated Ramblers or similar style homes in Suitland, right? Similar styles would be a split level, would be a split foyer, those type of things. Have similar functionality to the floor plan, right? I would want to have those type of houses that I'm comparing it to. There's no reason, if I have ample comparables in that neighborhood, there's no reason for me to go outside of, let's just say, a mile to find other comparables, mm-hmm. right? And so that's why I said earlier, it would be an immediate red flag if I saw that and I'm reviewing an appraisal and I see somebody going outside of that market when there was no reason to.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about home appraisal bias. Let me go to Samuel calling from Bowie. Samuel, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Samuel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go right ahead. What's on your mind? Turn your radio down. Go right ahead.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm calling in regards to the same thing because it's not only appraisal, but I'm also concerned about them doing inspections because me and my wife, we're in the market to buy a home. We've been renting home for the last 6 years, and we had the home inspection done. The guy told us the house is not worth buying. So we went to the owner asking him, what would he sell the house for? He said $400,000. I'm like, there's no upgrades to the electric. There's no upgrades to the plumbing. No, there's no upgrades to the house for them. It's the same 1967 house that was built. But when I go to the county for them to get the stuff done by code, I can't get nobody from the county to help me. So, I mean, my next door neighbor sold his house for $300,000. And that was fine. But with no upgrades. But how come when you're in a neighborhood that you're black and trying to buy a house and they won't even give you assistance But if the white person buying it, they tell you, you got to do this, all this upgrades before you can put it on the market.
Let me see if Chris can try to answer that. I'm not sure if inspections, appraisals, and the like may be applicable. Do you have a brief answer for him at all?
Yeah, I mean, what he's talking about essentially is the condition of the home, right? And so yes. the owner of the property wants to sell it for $400,000. I don't know, obviously, what the prices are over there, but if $400,000 is indicative of a home that's been upgraded, then he's trying to sell it for more than what it's worth. So my advice to him would have been to get an appraisal done, right, and try to see what that comes back at at the current condition, in its as-is condition, not as a subject-to condition where it's been renovated or anything like that. This is the as-is condition of the home. See what the value is worth at that point.
Okay. Samuel, thank you so much for your phone call. Nikitra, you were very helpful in kind of laying out the history, but from your perspective, where are we now with this issues? Certainly, probably one of the most high-profile cases is coming, you know, out of Baltimore, where a Johns Hopkins professor and his partner, he and she had their home appraised, and they felt that they were lowballed, and so they whitewashed the house, and the second appraisal was $400,000 more. This was in the Homewood community. I'm very familiar with this community. I live in Baltimore. This is a high-end brick and stone mature tree, predominantly white community. That is probably one of the recent highest profile incidences. And there's just a report just last week that now the appraiser is countersuing them because of their allegation of racial bias. Kind of paint a picture of why you think this is still happening, what can be done about it.
Sure. My organization was founded over 30 years ago to really root out housing discrimination. We are the nation's leading civil rights organization that's solely focused on rooting out discrimination in housing. And the example that you just discussed is similar to examples that the local fair housing enforcement agencies that my organization is serving as the trade association for see all over the country. We've seen countless cases of families believing that they had to whitewash their homes. We actually just had a program with the Brookings Institution Metro where we displayed the lowball documentary, which showed stories from, you know, families in California, the Tate Austin family. We saw Miss Duffy in Indiana. We saw the Curtises in California. These are individuals who all believed that they would have received a much higher appraisal, and they ended up whitewashing their homes because their first appraisals came in the manner that they felt like they were lowballed. And I want to get back to kind of what is this problem. A key issue here is that appraisers have broad discretion, and broad discretion has long been a fair housing risk factor because it allows conscious and unconscious bias to inform the decision instead of objective data. And almost all of the recent studies have found that broad discretion and the sales comparison approach has resulted in adverse and disparate impact for consumers and communities of color. And we have a governance issue with appraisals. The appraisal foundation is a big part of the problem with the home appraisal process. It's a private entity with unclear legal authority. It currently sets the appraisal standards and appraiser qualification criteria, but the organization itself does not operate in the public interest. It's not responsive to stakeholders, including lenders, appraisers, and consumers, and it has a pay-to-play structure, and it lacks specialized expertise in rule writing, safety and soundness, consumer protection, and civil rights. So many of the guardrails that are typically there, it does not have. So we've been advocating since we released our report. We released the groundbreaking report in January of 2022, along with our partners, the Christian Law Firm and the Dane Law Firm. And our report was commissioned by the appraisal subcommittee. It was one of the first major reports to really define this issue. And what we've been calling for is an entire restructuring of the system. And in order to achieve that goal, we need Congress to pass appraisal reform legislation and the federal agencies and the Appraisal Foundation to work together to address centuries of government policies that have led to the structural inequalities in communities of color that really prevent us from gaining wealth. And when we talk about housing, it's so important. Housing is so critical to wealth building in our country, and it's a primary reason that white wealth is so much higher than wealth in black communities. In fact, today, whites have about 90% of household wealth in comparison to just 4% of household wealth for black Americans.
But let me ask you, if
that is because of bias.
But if I may, because one of the things that we know, even if you have the financial resources, selling a house takes time. Okay, to selling a house that you've lived in, doesn't matter what color you are or where you live. If you're trying to buy another house and sell the one that you're living in, it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of work. If you believe that you are a victim of appraisal bias and addressing that throws another time wrench into the mix. So what is, what do you do if you think that you are a victim, Nikitra? I mean, who do you call? Do you like the couple in Baltimore? Do you sue the appraiser? Or if you do the whitewashing and you get a higher appraisal, do you just check, just go with the higher appraisal and keep it moving? You know, how does a homeowner address this?
So there are three things. First, the homeowner should gather information. They should look to, carefully evaluate their appraisal. They may be able to spot the source of the issue there. Some things that they might want to look for is that the subject property is not accurately defined. They may notice
you said it's not what?
Accurately defined.
Okay, go ahead.
They may notice that there was a mistake in the number of bedrooms or bathrooms. There may be a recent sale that they might be aware of. So that's the first thing they should do. They should also ask their real estate agent for help in determining whether the appraisal seems accurate. And then they can also ask their lender for a reconsideration of value. The lender is likely to ask why you think the appraised value is inaccurate. So the borrower needs to be prepared to have that information ready. And then they should contact the local fair housing organization. Our organization can be reached at nationalfairhousing.org, and you can find a list of local fair housing orgs. And then you can file a complaint with the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
But I guess my question is, okay, once you file a complaint, what happens next?
There's likely going to be an investigation. So when you file a complaint with HUD, there's likely to be an investigation. There's also the possibility for the person to do, as you mentioned earlier, to litigate the case and to file a legal complaint that will, matriculate through the legal system.
Mm-hmm. And Jake, that's kind of the thing that I was talking about earlier that I certainly am concerned about. I mean, right now, I along with another family member, we're trying to sell or preparing, I should say, to sell my parents' house in Brookland. The prices in Brookland over the past 15 years here in the District of Columbia have skyrocketed. They have exploded. Mm-hmm. Where a house around the corner from them sold for $1 million.
Wow.
When, 15, years ago, that same house was selling for $400,000. I mean, certainly that is the way of the world in the District of Columbia. But again, if you're waiting, if you're trying to move, So now you've got this other issue. I can't imagine the, you know, the financial and the emotional consternation that it would bring about.
Yeah, I mean, there is something to be said for ordering another appraisal and having a white friend step in. I just did a study in Baltimore where we hired interracial couples to get their homes appraised multiple times. We did 7 different tests consisting of 2 appraisals of each test, and we chose a home owned by an interracial couple. We hired 2 appraisers at random, and then when one appraiser showed up for the home inspection, only the black partner was present. And when the other appraiser showed up, only the white partner was present. And we found that homes were worth, on average, $7,000 more if the appraiser believed the home was white-owned. And all of the white people involved got great customer service from the appraisers, whereas a couple of the black people got terrible customer service. So if you think you got a bad appraisal, you might want to try again. And I mean, I hate to recommend it, but I have recommended whitewash the home, get a white person to stand in, see how that appraisal goes.
The moral, get a white friend. Is that what?
But I think we also have to say that it's imperative that our nation's robust fair lending laws and fair housing laws are adequately enforced, right? Like, part of the issue is that we need to see stronger enforcement around this type of, you know, alleged discrimination. We have a robust fair housing enforcement infrastructure, and we need those federal agencies to make sure those laws are absolutely enforced so that we can see less incidences of these biases. We also need to see the profession itself diversify. Right now, you know, it's 90% male, it's 90% white and 70% male as an industry. So the profession itself really needs to diversify. We need to see pipeline programs with our nation's HBCUs. We need to see, you know, different opportunities for appraisers to have different levels of educational criteria, because one of the issues is that the criteria to become an appraiser is such that it pushes potential appraisers outside of the system. So the profession itself needs to diversify and better reflect the nation's rich and broad diversity.
Chris.
Yeah, so I got into the appraisal profession when I was 26 as a young black male, 15, 16 years ago. That was almost unheard of, right? I didn't know anybody. I was in the middle of my classes and didn't even know that I needed to work under somebody to get my license. I knew nobody. By the grace of God, I had somebody, an old boss of mine told me that his son-in-law was opening an appraisal company. That was my in, right? So I got in. So obviously, me in my position, people ask me about this all the time. When the pandemic happened, I started getting asked about appraisal bias and how can we diversify the industry and everything like that. So,
what were they asking you, if I may ask?
My experience, right, on appraisal bias. Do I think it's real? Right, that was a big thing. Right, in the appraisal field, it's first we have to identify that it's a thing. Right, it's like convincing people that bias actually exists. And me as a black man, I know that it exists in every fact. In every aspect of our lives, right? And so appraisals is not immune to it, right? Now, our system is supposed to be set up to where that's not necessarily the case, right? Where we try to limit the amount of bias that can come into the report, but there's still holes in the report and in the process in which that can happen. So I've thought about some things that we could possibly do. So one thing that I thought about was we need to bifurcate the process, right? The appraisal process. So if we created a separate inspection license, right? Me as the appraiser, I can train an inspector basically to go into the house, collect all the data that I need, give me the data, I can then write the report. That way, I never walked into the house. I never met the individual. I never smelled their food. There's nothing.
Fascinating.
You know? And then in addition to that, that gives an extra lane, an easier lane to get into the industry, right? So now we can go and recruit a more diverse field for people to, like, an entry level into the profession by giving them this inspector license. They can learn in the field that way. And then, like I said, it just gives an extra lane for us to bring people. I can easily go to a HBCU and recruit people to come into that space.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, again, one of the things that a lot of people and even making, you know, the comparison with my, you know, experience right now with, you know, my house in Baltimore, when I paid for an inspection, and it was 22 years or so ago, and I remember the, I said inspection, the appraisal. The appraiser came in, and I was buying, but I had a separate appraisal done. The appraiser spent more than 30 minutes in the house. But we're talking about the early 2000s. And so that's when there was less information on the internet. And I think that, you know, technology may not have played as much of a role. But with my parents' house, the appraisers were there for only 10 minutes. There were two women, but they were only there for 2 minutes. I mean, 10 minutes. Don't have the appraisal back yet, waiting to get that, because I, again, as I know, the houses in that community, all of them are selling for, you know, a ton of money. That's a technical term, a ton of money. but my parents' house, larger lot, bigger house. And so I hope that, you know, I don't have to call any one of the three of you, you know, when this, you know, when this comes forward, you know, and, you know, Jake will probably be my new white friend. But
I knew you had me on here for a
reason.
Yeah,
I had you on here for a reason, Jake. But, you know, but in all seriousness, whether it's the Baltimore case or the cases that you were talking about, Nikitra, in the event that you were addressing, you know, last month, it is still a very, very dicey situation, because you just don't know, and people have a personal investment. This is their home, and even if it's done fairly, some people, Nikitra, will believe that their house is worth more than it is.
Well, there are ways to minimize the discretion, and we think that needs to be done, because by doing that, that's a significant step. We also know that appraisers need to get fair housing training, and we need to see fair housing training at every level of credentialing and renewal. That's something that's not happening right now. So that's something that could make a huge difference. We also need the government-sponsored enterprises, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and the federal agencies to require appraisers with whom they do business to complete comprehensive and accurate fair housing training. This is a safety and soundness issue. We won't have a healthy mortgage market without fair and accurate appraisals. So we need to do everything that we can to reform this system, not tinker around the edges, so that we can build the fairness and the accuracy into the system that it currently lacks.
Mm-hmm. I only have a few minutes left. I'd like to give you each an opportunity to make a final comment, your final thoughts about this, Jay.
Well, I've done a lot to highlight the individual biases of appraisers with the study that I mentioned, but individual biases of appraisers is just a small part of the problem here. The discriminatory appraisals done by the government in the past, those affect the current prices of homes today. The appraisal industry is being governed primarily by a private organization. So as citizens, we can't really say or do much to change the way the industry is being run. It falls on the government, and hopefully some changes will be made soon so that there is more oversight, and so that appraisals are less of an art and more of a science.
Hmm.
You'll constantly hear appraisers say, well, it's an art, not a science. Well, maybe it should be a science. There need to be protocols in place, and as Nikitra said, fair housing training. A lot of appraisers didn't believe that the Fair Housing Act even applied to them until the Department of Justice just recently in the Austin case filed a notice saying, yes, the Fair Housing Act does apply to you.
Mm-hmm. Chris, final word from you.
Yeah, I think that the conversation around appraisals, I think somewhat is piggybacking off what Jake was just saying a little bit. It might take the focus off what the big picture is, right? A lot of stuff happened because of the government policies from the past. And so we have to also focus on why the values are so different in so many different neighborhoods, right? Of course, there's individual appraisal biases that happen, and the appraisal process needs to be rectified and needs to be changed around. As an appraiser, I can tell you that appraisers have too much influence in one transaction.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that, right?
Yeah.
So there's a myriad of things that we need to do on the larger scale, in addition to just looking at the appraisal process.
Nikitra, I give you the last 30 seconds.
Thank you. We need Congress to increase funding for HUD's Fair Housing Initiative Program and Office of Systemic Investigation, and provide HUD with funding for a nationwide consumer education campaign.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank all of you, Nikitra Bailey, Jake Lillian, and Chris Jackson, for talking to us about this really important issue. Also, I would like to thank Zixta Martinez with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau for joining us earlier. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, February 9th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.